The FBI in Peace and War.
Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The End of the Rope.
All right, go ahead in. Sidney Fraser, Mr. Keeley. You got his papers?
Yes, I have, Sergeant. They just came down.
Okay, Fraser. Mr. Keeley, here's your parole officer. You report to him from now on.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Fraser. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Okay, now, just relax. This won't take long.
Yes, sir.
I've been going through your papers, Fraser. You were up for embezzlement. 15 years, served 10, model prisoner.
Yes, sir.
There was another man in on this job. They never caught him.
No, sir, he was never caught.
How do you feel about going on the outside? Think you can handle it?
Yes, sir, I can.
The board recommended you for a job. Bookkeeper.
Yes, sir, I start work tomorrow.
Okay, Fraser, I guess you know the rules. You report to me at this office every Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Now, technically, you're still serving your time. And if you slip up and fail to report, you'll be back in prison. Now, that's clear, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. I'll see you next Monday. Good luck, Fraser. And stay out of trouble.
In 1942, Sidney Fraser was a bookkeeper at the Bridgetown National Bank, and Carl Exton, his best friend, was the cashier. In April of that year, the two men failed to return from a summer camping trip, and it was discovered that they'd been systematically defrauding the bank for a period of years and had taken over $90,000. We caught up with Fraser in 6 months at a bar in Miami. He was broke and claimed to have lost what was left of his money gambling. We never found Carl Exton. We questioned Fraser many times about his partner, but he always claimed he knew nothing about Exton. We felt sure Fraser was lying, but there was no way of proving it.
That's me. How's my dinner doing?
About 10 minutes. Don't get washed.
Okay, honey. Oh, anything happened today? Did you get the stove fixed?
Yes. And what do you think he charged? $6.50. And it only took him an hour.
Oh, that man's a robber. Never use him again. Is that all?
Oh, there was some man here to see you. He said he might be back later.
Oh, who was it?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell me his name. First, I wasn't going to let him in. He was, I don't know, queer, sort of.
Hmm? What do you mean, queer?
Sneaky-like.
Oh, Alice.
Well, he was. I thought at first he was a panhandler, or maybe one of those fake magazine salesmen.
Wanted to see me?
Yes. I told him you were still working down at the bank, but he kind of pushed his way in and looked all around the living room.
Oh? What did he look like, Alice?
Well, I don't know. Short, kind of, and he wore glasses.
He wouldn't give you his name?
No. He just said he was an old friend of yours. Said he hadn't seen you in 10 years, but maybe you'd remember him from some place that sounded like Bridgetown. And I said, well, what's the matter, Carl?
Nothing.
Don't you feel well, dear?
Yes, I'm all right.
Carl?
I said I'm all right.
Oh, goodness, don't snap at me. I just
thought... I'm sorry, Alice. I didn't mean to...
Just thought you looked so funny all of a sudden.
Alice, you told this man I was working down at the bank?
Yes, of course. Was there anything wrong with it?
No, nothing, dear. Did he ask any other questions?
Didn't ask me anything. Said what a nice place we had here, and you must be doing real well, and he was glad to see you had settled down.
Oh, I'll get that.
Oh, no, it's probably Helen. I told her we might come over tonight. Hello?
Hello, is Mr. Richards home yet?
Yes, he just came in.
Can I speak to him, please? I'm the one who was over to see you this afternoon.
Oh, just a minute, please. It's him, Carl, the man that was here.
Oh, all right, I'll take it. Go back and fix the supper, Alice.
Yes, Carl.
And close the kitchen door, please.
Yes, dear.
Hello?
Hello, Carl. This is Sidney.
Yes. What do you want?
Well, that's not a very nice welcome for an old friend.
Sidney, you haven't...
No, Carl, I'm out the legitimate way on parole. Took me quite a time to find you.
Sidney.
But I figured someday you'd settle near Crystal Lake. Fishing still as good as ever, Carl?
Sidney, what do you want?
Well, it's a long story. I'm staying over at the Maple Tourist Court. You better come over here and see me tonight. If you know what's good for you.
So I said to myself, now where would I settle down if I were the nice, steady, plodding type like Carl? What's the matter with Crystal Lake, I said.
Sidney, if it's money you want, I haven't got any of my share left. Believe me, I haven't.
Have another drink.
No. Now listen, you've got to believe me, Sidney. After you were arrested, I got scared and went down to Mexico. I stayed there 6 years. I didn't work. I didn't do anything. I only had 11,000 left when I came back here, and I put all of that into my house, Sidney.
Uh-huh. Your wife isn't a very friendly type, is she?
Don't you believe me?
Not particularly. How'd you ever get a job in the bank, Carl?
Well, Alice, my wife, she worked there. I told her I was a freelance accountant. She recommended me. They just happened to need a cashier at that time.
Uh-huh. And while I was rotting my brains out in that stinking pen, you were right here in Crystal Lake sitting pretty, weren't you?
What?
You heard me. I spent 10 years paying for our deal, and you got off with nothing.
But it wasn't my fault.
Who cares whose fault it was? I served the time, didn't I?
Well, yes, but
3,652 lousy days, and every one of them you were on the outside, living like a king.
Now, Sidney, be reasonable.
Reasonable? Reasonable? Have you got any idea what it's like in there? Have you? Nobody to talk to but low-down scum? Nothing to do but work all day? Eat slop? Get locked up at night?
But what have I got to do with that?
You owe me some of that time. You were in the deal just as much as I was. You owe it to me.
Sidney, I think you're a sick man.
What did you say?
Let go of me, Sidney.
What did you say?
Sidney.
Don't you ever say a thing like that to me, Carl.
No.
You understand?
No, Sidney.
Don't you ever say a thing like that. Don't ever do it, you understand? You want a drink?
No.
I won't take that from anybody, Carl.
Sidney, what do you want from me?
$5,000. I have to be back in town on Monday to report my parole. You better have it over there tomorrow afternoon.
Sidney, I swear I haven't got it. I have $800 in my savings account, and that's all.
You want to save time just like I did?
Please, Sidney, believe me. I haven't got $5,000.
I want it tomorrow afternoon, Carl, and you better not disappoint me. I'm up to do almost anything when I get disappointed.
During the first few months of Sidney Fraser's parole, he worked steadily and soberly at his bookkeeping job and was considered quite competent by his employer. But after 6 months, he started taking long weekends and coming late to work, and parole officer Keeley began a quiet investigation. When Keeley had found certain facts, he notified the parole board, and we were called into the case.
And there's our report, Mr. Shepherd. You'll see that Fraser is obviously spending more money than he makes.
Uh-huh. And what is his weekly salary, Mr. Keeley?
$62.50 a week. He's been there 5 months.
He bought a $100 watch, huh?
Yes, and he seems to be a nut on shoes. He had four pairs custom made at $35 a pair.
That's Fraser, all right.
Well, was he always a spender?
Yes, that's how he got in trouble at the bank. $35 shoes and horse races. You know if he's been seeing any bookies?
Well, probably, but we don't know for sure. Quite often he stops in at a bar over at 3rd Street on his way home from work. The place is supposed to be a bookie hangout.
Oh, he can't stay away from gambling long.
Well, do you think that he may have saved any money from the embezzlement, Mr. Shepherd?
We're going to try to check on that. It's possible, but we're pretty sure he was broke at the time of his arrest.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, we haven't got the kind of staff that can do a complete checkup. But he's getting plenty of money, and he's certainly not earning all of it.
May we keep this report, Mr. Keeley?
Surely, that's your copy.
What's the name of the bar over on 3rd Street, Mr. Keeley?
It's Thompson's Bar and Grill.
Fraser stops in there after work?
Yes, he doesn't seem to have any close friends. He's there quite a lot.
Well, we'll start off on 3rd Street, Mr. Keeley. We'll be in touch with you.
Okay. Say, what about that partner of his? the one who wasn't caught.
We're considering that angle, too. He might be in touch with Exton and be getting money from him. We'll cover every angle we can, Mr. Keeley.
All right, I guess it's up to you now. I just wish there was some logical explanation for his money. I hate to see a man lose out on parole.
After our meeting with the parole officer, we began our surveillance of Sidney Fraser. It was obvious that he had money. It was equally obvious that his years in prison had made him extremely cautious in every move he made. A number of times he eluded us completely, taking swift and elaborate routes through the city. He seemed to take it for granted that he was being followed. We began to feel that he enjoyed a perverse delight in creating complicated devices to conceal his movements after working hours.
Carl?
Yes, Sidney.
Now, you didn't have any trouble finding this now, did you?
No, I didn't.
Put your parking lights on. There's no use attracting attention.
Sidney, what do you want this time? More money?
Of course I do. But after all, you might be a little more friendly. I haven't bothered you for almost 6 months now.
I told you, Sidney, I haven't got any more money. I borrowed that $5,000 on the house. There's just no place else I can get any more.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, I can't get money out of the air.
No, but you can get it out of the bank. We did it. Remember, Carl?
What are you talking about?
The bank where you work. They got lots of nice cash lying around.
Oh, no. No, you're not going to ask me to do anything like that.
No, I'm not asking you, Carl. I'm telling you. And if you don't do it, I'll just pick up a phone and let the cops know where you are.
Now, Sidney, listen to me.
Oh, stop whining. You make me sick. You can fix those books the same way we did, and the bank won't know what's going on. I don't care how much you take for yourself, but get me another $10,000.
I won't. I won't do it.
And I say you will.
No.
You will, you hear me? You owe me time, and the only way you can pay it is money.
Now, Sidney.
Now, listen. I spent 10 years thinking about you and the easy time you were having, and I'm not letting you get away with anything, Carl.
I'm not going to do it.
Why do you think I was a model prisoner? Just so I could get out and find you. That's all I thought about, Carl, day and night, finding you.
Look, Sidney, give me time. I'll keep something out of my paycheck every week. I'll give you half of my paycheck.
You'll keep your lousy paycheck. It'll take about 6 weeks to get that money out of the bank. I'll call you in 6 weeks and tell you where to meet me.
Sidney.
You do what I tell you, Carl. You always have, and you always will.
Not this time, I won't.
$10,000, Carl, and I'll let you alone for good. Remember now... Don't disappoint me.
And as Fraser's movements became more and more elaborate, we decided to take a direct approach. Through a police informer who was a frequent patron of Thompson's bar, I was introduced casually to Fraser during an argument on horse racing. I quickly took Fraser's side. And after a few meetings, we were friendly enough to exchange greetings.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Give me one on the rocks, Charlie. Is that this afternoon's form?
Yeah.
Who do you like in the seventh tomorrow?
I was just waiting for you to tell me.
Honey boy, the way he's been coming up, he can't miss.
Yeah, I think you're right at that.
Oh, sure I am.
Yeah, Mr. Tracy.
On the rocks.
Okay, Charlie. Yeah, keep the change.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. The way that horse is coming up, he's going to walk away with the Belmont.
I don't know. The Belmont's pretty stiff competition.
Well, maybe, but I've got a little business deal coming up in a couple of weeks, and when it goes through, I'm putting half of what I get right on that animal's nose.
Okay, I'll try him for a 5-spot tomorrow.
Yeah, you do that. He won't disappoint you, will he, Charlie?
Not if you say so, Mr. Fraser.
Well, I say so. Tell Gus I'll eat over there in the fourth, Charlie.
Okay, Mr. Fraser. Hey, Gus! Menu and number three.
You really like Honey Boy, Charlie?
Me? I haven't got dough to throw away at horses. I'll leave that to you guys.
Don't look at me. I'm strictly a $5 top.
Well, Mr. Fraser, then.
Aw, he was only giving us a little ride.
You think so? I saw him put $1,000 in a horse right here in front of me.
Fraser?
Sure. Maybe he don't look like much, but he's got it.
I thought he worked as a bookkeeper.
Sure, but he's got some other kind of racket outside of that. You let him get a couple of snorts under his belt, and he'll show you a bankroll the size of a cabbage.
Where does he get it?
I don't know. He got tanked up one night and said there was a guy cheated him out of some money once, see? And he's cashing in on a guy now.
That sounds like a yarn to me.
Maybe it is. I'll try to figure it out. Hey, you want to fill that up?
Yeah. Say, Charlie, what time do you close here?
11, what?
Stick around after closing time, will you? I'd like to talk to you about something.
Hello.
Hello, Carl. This is me, Sidney.
Sidney, I told you never to call me here at the bank. What's the idea?
The idea is you better get moving on our proposition, Carl. I'm tired of waiting.
I can't talk to you, Sidney.
All right, I'll talk to you. I want the first installment on our deal this week. You better get it, Carl. And don't try any tricks. Whatever you do and wherever you are, I'll be watching. And don't you disappoint me.
Alice.
Yes, Jim.
I'm going now.
You'll call me or send me a wire, Carl?
Now look, I'll only be gone a few weeks. It's just a business trip, Alice.
I can't understand why the bank should suddenly want
to... Well, honey, this is a chance for a promotion. Don't you see? They want me to look over the Newtown branch.
I can't help it, Carl. I'm worried.
About what?
Well, the way you were talking last night.
Well, I just wanted you to be able to get our money out of the savings bank. I mean, if you needed it.
If you're only going for 2 weeks...
Well, goodbye, darling. Take care of yourself.
Goodbye, Carl. You'll wire me as soon as you get there?
Yes, of course.
I could drive you to the station.
No, I've got time, Alice. I'll walk.
Take care, Carl, and write to me.
Yes, I will.
Did you think you could walk out on me, Carl?
Sidney.
I told you I'd be watching every move you made.
Sidney, the bank wants me to go to our Newtown branch. I didn't know where to get in touch with you.
You lie. You were just walking out.
No, Sidney, I swear.
I know you, Carl. I know you like a book. Come on now. We'll go down to my room at the tourist place and talk this over.
No.
Carl, I'd just as soon shoot you down right here in the street. And I mean that.
Well, what is there to talk about, Sidney?
About you. I'm not taking any chances on you from here on in. You stay with me tonight, and then go to work at the bank in the morning. And we'll figure a way to get me some quick cash, Carl, and then you'll have to take a business trip. For good this time. Come on, let's go.
And shortly after the bartender at Thompson's had agreed to help us find out more about the deal that Fraser was working on, Parole Officer Keeley notified us that Fraser had failed to report to the parole office for the first time. We called Fraser's employer and were informed that Fraser hadn't been to work since Thursday of the previous week. Agent Reynolds made a quick visit to Thompson's Bar and Grill on 3rd Street.
No, he hasn't been in here, Mr. Reynolds. Not since Saturday, as far as I can remember.
Saturday, you sure of that, Charlie?
Yeah. I've been sort of keeping track of things since I talked to Mr. Shepard.
Fraser didn't give you any hint where he might have been going.
No, I kind of tried to pump him. I said, you gone out to the races today? And he said, hey, wait a minute. It didn't mean anything then, but I remember how he said he might take a weekend in the country.
He didn't say where?
No, but I kind of remember he talked about the country a couple of times before. When he had a few under his belt. A lake somewhere. I remember that.
You think he actually did go to the country any time before this?
Yeah. It was a lake, and he kept talking about the fishing. I remember he said it was so clear up there you could see the fish grab the hook.
Crystal Lake.
Huh?
Crystal Lake, was that the name of it?
I don't know. He never told me the name. Why?
Crystal Lake was where he and his partner went on a fishing trip before they disappeared with their bank's money.
No kidding.
I'm sure that's the name. Agent Shepard and I went up there trying to backtrack after the embezzlement.
That sounds like it could be it, but he never told me the name.
Give me a change of a dollar, Charlie. I want to use the phone.
Yeah, sure thing. You think he might have gone up there?
I don't know. We're sure enough going to check up on it.
And late that afternoon, we took the train for Crystal Lake. We arrived there at 8 o'clock, and it didn't take us long to check on the two hotels and the tourist courts. The owner of the Maple Tourist Court recognized Fraser's photograph and told us he'd been registered there since Thursday. That was 8:30, the time when Fraser was waiting in a rented car just outside the Crystal Lake National Bank.
Well,
Have you got it?
Yes. Let's get away from here.
Let me see it.
It's in a package. You can open it later.
All right. We'll drive over to my room and pick up my things. Did you get the whole 10,000?
Yes, yes. It's all there.
How much did you take for yourself, Carl?
5.
Gee, you're taking more? That won't keep you very long.
That's all I was. I couldn't get any more.
Okay, I'm not complaining. Open it up.
Not now, Sidney.
I don't trust you. Open it up and let me see.
I tell you, it's all there.
I want to see it.
I wish I had enough nerve to kill you, Sidney. You deserve it.
Hey, looks like it's all there, Carl.
I mean that.
I'm sure you do. Where are you going to go this time, Carl? Mexico?
I don't know.
Your wife will miss you.
Shut up.
You'll never be able to come back, will you? No more easy living, huh, Carl?
That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah. Even more than the money, that's what I wanted, to make you go through what I did.
You're crazy, that's what you are.
Don't you dare say that.
I will say it.
Carl, I'm warning
you. I will say it, you're crazy.
Okay, that does it.
What are you doing?
I'll show you what I'm doing. And get out.
Sidney. Sidney, look, I was just a little excited. I didn't mean it.
You meant it all right. Get out. Walk over to that ditch.
No, honest, I didn't. It's just that I'm all jumpy on account of taking the money, you see?
Nobody's ever said that to me and got away with
Sidney,
it.
Sidney, listen to me.
Yeah, I'm just as sane as you are, and I know what I'm doing.
Sure, sure you are, Sidney.
Now get out of the car and walk over to that ditch.
Now, Sidney.
Do what I tell you.
Sidney, please. Please, listen to me, Sidney.
Go on. Walk over there.
Sidney. Let's drive down to Mexico together, huh? We'll work together like we did before, huh?
Nobody ever said I was crazy and got away with it, Carl. And that means you...
Sidney! Go.
So long, Carl. Thanks for the money.
Comes in the light. Yeah, that's him. Mr. Fraser.
Well, hello there. What are you doing in Crystal Lake?
Looking for you. FBI, Mr. Fraser. Here are my credentials.
FBI? Well, what do you want with me?
Let's go in your room and talk.
All right. But if it's about my not reporting for parole, I can explain that.
Okay, you'll have a chance to explain a lot of things. Let's go, Mr. Fraser. After we'd questioned Sidney Fraser, we made a check of the rented car which he'd been driving. $15,000 and a loaded pistol with one shot fired quickly led to the discovery of the robbery of the Crystal Lake National Bank by his former partner, Carl Exton. Exton was found seriously wounded, but he recovered. Fraser was returned to jail, tried on new charges, and sentenced to life imprisonment, Exton to 15 years. Fraser's criminal career is now at the end of the rope.
Tonight's story, Eric Dressler played the part of Sidney Fraser and Larry Haynes was Carl Exton. This radio dramatization for the FBI and Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and is not an official program of the FBI. This is the United
United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Thank you.